Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, it's Tuesday night. That means it's time for the SNS Music Show. I'm your wired up co-host. Yeah, I'm doing good tonight. I'm your host, Scott. And guess what? I have two surprises tonight. First, I told you that our guest Marlon and Matt are here. Say hi, guys.
Hello. How you doing?
And my other surprise is I'm not solo because my beautiful co-host came back early from vacation because she missed me. Isn't that awesome? She missed me. So my co-host is here.
Who was it that missed who the most? Don't even go there. I know better than that.
Yeah, you miss the dogs and the kids more than me. I know how it is.
That's not true, folks. He knows that I miss him. I miss him every time he's away from me.
So tonight we're having a pizza party, and Matt's over here. Woo, yeah. So we're going to get loud. We got a little bit of country, a little bit of Christian, a little bit of rock and roll. We got a little bit of everything, because God's in the house tonight. Okay, so let's go ahead and start with our first song called Knock on Wood by Amy Grant.
Throughout the whole house, it smells so good.
That wasn't Amy Grant. That was Amy Stewart. Yeah, I'm with it. Hey, it's Tuesday. What do you expect from me?
What's in that coffee you're drinking over there, dear?
No, that's Dr. Pepper.
What's in the Dr. Pepper?
Wouldn't you like to know?
Yeah, I would.
See.
Because you didn't share.
It's carbonation, caramel, it's Dr. Pepper.
He didn't share with me, folks. That's not right. Gee.
You don't drink Dr. Pepper.
I do once in a while.
You drink Canada Dry.
That's right.
That's right.
Well.
So anyway, our ghost, we're really with it tonight. You can tell I'm wound up today. Got my car back from the shop after 2 months, finally. Took them 2 months to change the head in there. At least cost them $450 cheaper than they told me on the phone. So I'm proud of that. Thank you, Lord.
I actually forgot what my car looked like until I got it back today.
So
it's been gone for so long.
So last time we had Marlon here, he does the House of Hope, which is, it takes people off the street, men off the street, helps them clean up from the drugs, and helps them get a job and place to live and everything else. So what have you been doing since we last talked?
Well, since we last talked, I've been, April the 30th, I went into the county jail, high security prison.
That's my birthday.
And, really?
Yeah.
Cool. And I did a, what you call a single life talk, and a couple behind me did a married life talk. And we had a panel discussion, and I like to talk, if it's all right with Scott, about something that's very important. They asked a question that really got me to thinking. And one of the questions was, and it's not only when you get out of prison, but when you're here in this world and you decide to change your life, how do you avoid evil? And I told them that the friends that they used to hang around with that are doing the drugs and committing crimes, you don't fool with them anymore, and you surround yourself around godly people. And it's not easy to do. It's hard to do, and I'll tell you why. Because and this is very important too, because the decision you make could affect your life for the rest of your life. I was an active member in the church. Me and my two brothers, we played basketball for the church. I sang in the church choir. And I had a friend come to me that he wasn't going to church. He was on the street. But he lived two blocks from me. And he came to me. He said, Marlon, I got a deal. I got an idea. He said, we're going to sell 100 rocks at a time. The least amount we'll sell is 50, and that way, if the police find out we're selling dope, they can't give an addict $10 or $20 to go get some rocks and bring them back and say, I got that dope from that house. So I went along with it, and till this day, I can't believe that I stopped going to church. I let go of God to become a crack cocaine dealer, but that is what would happen if you don't stay focused. And you let go of God, your life can go from great to garbage in no time flat. So after we started selling drugs for a year, we're selling drugs, making money, hiding money from my parents, because my parents don't know I'm selling drugs. She knew that she would kill me.
Yes,
and my
would.
Dad, oh man, I don't even want to think about that. He probably would have dug a hole and just pushed me in it. But for a year, a friend of mine got busted at the light club, and to get a lesser charge, he turned on me. So now I've
that
got
was nice
a,
to him.
Yeah.
So now I got a principal sales charge, which way I got to give me a year and a day. Back then they were giving away a whole bunch of game time. Only did 5 months of prison.
Wow.
Lake Butler was the place.
Yep, been there.
Everybody go, yeah.
Been there, done that, yeah.
1986 this was. I get out, and it's easy to blame it on the girl that I was hanging with, but I started smoking crack after that. So now I'm selling drugs to support my habit. So that's what I tell you, it's very important to avoid evil.
Oh, yeah.
And if somebody comes to you with a deal that you think is good, everything that sounds good ain't good. And everything
exactly.
that looks
right.
good ain't good.
Exactly.
So what you have to do is you have to ask God. You seek the counsel of the Lord before you make any kind of decision. I mean, And also seek family that thinks positive. Ask them for advice. And I thank God if you are a believer, I know God will point you in the right direction to seek advice. Now, some people, and a lot of times it'll be family too, that see you doing right. They don't want to see you do right. They'll let the devil use them to get you off your course with God. Mm-hmm. And the next thing you know, you might even end up in prison or even dead. Yeah. Or if you're blessed, you might end up in the county jail. So I think that's a very important subject. How do I avoid evil? Mm-hmm. Because there's all kinds of evil out there. All you got to do is turn on the news.
Yep.
You hear
yep.
about it every day. Pick up a newspaper.
Yeah, he's in the White House.
It's right in your face.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And he talks to you on TV. And he'll make you think that he's trying to change the world, but he's got his own objective.
Exactly.
So,
sounds like our first
I time. Believe God's the one that led him back to me because of the fact of these two.
Yeah.
Because I could have taken care of him, but I don't think I could have taken care of him by myself.
Right.
And he was always there for me with my kids, and I was always there with his and with his when we knew each other before. So mm-hmm. I honestly believe that he led him back to me to help me with these two here, because he has been an excellent example for these kids since he's been here and helped me to take care of them and making them do what's right.
And that helps you stay away from evil too.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah. When you get a man and a woman together, they love each other in marriage. And no matter what the situation is, if you adopted them or you got them from a family member, God will speak to your heart. And just like I said, he'll point you in the right direction.
Yep, yep.
Now,
well, my daughter is not exactly going in that right direction. Because she went from being an abuser to being an abusee because she was abusing her husband and at least one of the ones we have now. And now the gentleman that she's with now is abusing her. And she's just in a bad situation and she won't get out of it.
Right.
I mean, I've tried to talk to her several times. And you know how that goes with ones that don't want to listen.
Right.
And she's just one of them ones that don't want to listen to nothing because she thinks she knows it all.
Right.
And I'm just hoping one of these days that God grabs her by the arm and says, come on, lady. Get out of the situation,
That's what God did to you. Grabbed you by the arm.
If you guys keep praying, he will.
Yeah.
I'm living proof of that.
Yes, you are.
He's a product of prayer. Somebody prayed for him when he was out there.
Yeah.
God protected him. God protected me. And I know Keith's been out there before. I can tell because sometimes we talk and I can tell. And God brought him in. And also God gave him a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And a plan. Now his purpose is,
right there.
See that those kids,
are taken care of.
Draw close to the God, and they're taken care of. And when they have kids, see what the way you treat a child has a big impact on their life.
Oh yeah,
for the rest of their life.
Oh,
the way you treat them, and then when they grow, when they have kids, because eventually one day they're gonna get married.
Mm-hmm. Sophie's not allowed to until she's 15.
Okay. But one day,
a little overtime protection there.
And then she can bring her kids up
the right. Yeah. What's so sad about that? I raised both of my girls
mm-hmm.
to be respectful of people and to know what right from wrong is.
Amen.
This one here just turned in a different direction when she got to a certain age,
mm-hmm.
and I couldn't stop her. I mean, everything that I did, she just turned it around to her advantage the way she wanted it to be.
Right.
So I just let it go, and I said, you know what? One of these days, you're going to have to learn on your own. If I can't teach you and you don't want to listen to me, you're going to have to learn your life lessons, you know? And one of her biggest life lessons is that she's losing her kids.
Right.
Because she don't want to be a parent.
That is a life lesson. Yes, it is.
I mean, because I wouldn't want to lose my kids if I was a parent. I mean, I took through the pain, went through the pain of having them. I wouldn't want to lose them.
Right.
But it just don't seem to matter to her. I mean, and one of these days she's gonna realize how stupid she's been.
Right.
And she's gonna say, "What did I do?" I mean, wake up, you know. I mean, smell the coffee. I mean, you gotta change something in your life to make it better.
Yes.
I mean, he did. Scott did.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I mean, and I haven't always been with my life the right way, but I didn't do things as bad as he did. But I mean, I didn't always do things right either.
Right.
I mean, but I realized I have responsibilities in life.
Yes.
I have my kids to take care of, now my grandkids.
Yes.
I mean, so I have to live my life right because I got to teach them what's right.
That's right.
And you got to take care of me when I get old and gray and I'm chasing you around with my cane.
That's that. I'm chasing you, my scooter.
All right, there we go. Now you're talking.
Y'all be chasing each other.
Yeah. I'll be going after her with my cane. Hey, baby, what's up? I'll never get old. I may get old physically and in years, but I'll never get old as far as heart and young and in mind.
You're never going to get old?
No.
Honey, you're already 53.
And and I sit there and play with fidget spinners and all kinds of toys, don't I?
You got me by a year.
Yep.
Hey, we're young at heart. Yeah, there we go.
Because of that, those two over there, they got to keep me on my toes so I can't be old.
No kidding.
Well, there are times, oh my goodness.
He told me he was going to have duct tape to the wall when I got home. He said, I'll be the one sitting on the couch with a drink in my hand, and the kids will be duct taped to the walls. Okay.
I said they were really good while you were gone. I didn't, except for that one problem that you know about. I didn't really have any problems with them. They were really good.
Told him, I said, they're going to be that good when I go away. Maybe we need to go away more often.
I don't think so. I do not think so.
Sorry.
Let's bring it on to our next song. This one's actually for our daughter.
Which one?
The one we were just talking about.
Ashley.
Yeah, she right now is blinded by the light.
Wrapped up like a douche, another runner in the night. Blinded by the light. Wrapped up like a douche, another runner in the night.
Kind of older.
knocked down, but you never thought I was gonna make it.
I'm sorry. Turn around.
Oh, Rebel.
That was Man for Man, Blinded by the Light. Yeah, there's a lot of people blinded by the light. We used to be that way. We used to be blinded by that light, that money light. Yep, because I did my time of doing stuff wrong. It only took one time for me to go to jail and learn my lesson. Well, not jail, but prison to learn my lesson. I've seen jail many times.
I was a little
hard. I was in jail, too, but mine was a totally different
petty
thing. It wasn't for stealing or anything. This girl pissed me off. I mean, she really pissed me off. And she was living with me, and she was around my other daughter's age is doing stupid stuff right now. And they were around 18 at the time. And the girl was pregnant. I mean, when you're trying to help somebody out, you would think they would be
grateful.
Grateful, yeah.
Right.
That's what I'm looking for. Well, this girl, she got mad at my daughter one day and got up in her face and tried to hit her. My daughter was pregnant at the time too. And I just had enough of it. I mean, they were standing there screaming at each other. I told her, I said, you need to pack your stuff and get out of my house.
Mm-hmm.
So I walked out into the garage to get a suitcase to pack her stuff in out of the garage, because we had a dresser out in the garage with her stuff in it. She comes and gets, I mean, right up in my face. I mean, right in my face. I'm an adult. You don't do that to me when I'm trying to help you. You're 18 years old. I'm an adult. Get out of my face.
Mm-hmm.
She just stood there screaming at me in my face. I mean, I didn't hit her. Shoved her back out of my space, out of my face.
Mm-hmm.
She calls cops on me and puts me in jail. And they arrest me for battery, I think I told you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I looked at the cop. I said, really? I said, I didn't hit her. I said, all I did was push her out of my face. I said, come on now.
And she was in your house.
And she was in my house.
Mm-hmm.
She said, well, she's pregnant. That's why you're being arrested. It doesn't matter.
Actually, the way the law states, if you lay your hands on another person in an unfriendly manner, it's automatically a battery. It don't matter whether they're pregnant or not.
No. She said, I wouldn't have been arrested if she wouldn't have been pregnant.
Oh.
She said, I was arrested because she was pregnant. And I laid my hands on a pregnant woman.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, okay, would you let somebody get up in your face like that? I don't care whether you're a cop or not. Would you let somebody get up in your face like that? And if they lived in your house like that? I don't think so. You can't stand there and tell me you would. That's the actually, I've been arrested twice. The first time was my mother's fault. I won't even go on that one. But I stayed in jail for 3 weeks over that one. It was not a pretty scene, but I didn't like it there either. Let me tell you, I will not go back. I am not never gonna go back. If I decide to get in trouble, I'm gonna say no. Remember the first time you were in there? You don't want to go back. Remember?
Sorry, I got bail money. So what have you been up to? I hear you've been traveling a lot.
Well, as part of my duties at the ministry, God's the provider of the ministry, but He allows me to go to different stores and sell T-shirts and tell people how God changed my life. And He allows me to encourage mothers, fathers, sisters, and brothers that has a child, a son or a daughter, or maybe even a family member or uncle or aunt that's out there on drugs and they haven't heard from them in a while and they're worried sick about them. And I can relate to that because I was that person at one time. So I can encourage them to move forward in the Lord, and I can then also encourage them to pray and never give up on that person. And God will bring them home eventually. You know what I mean? That's my – to earn money for the ministry, God does that. But my main goal to let people know is hope in Jesus Christ, whether I'm in prison, whether I'm in the ministry, or if I'm out standing in front of stores. My job is to – be a witness now of how awesome God is.
Oh, yeah. You do a good job of that. I see you work. When we do the flea market together, man, you're just right there talking to everybody. You really do.
Well, after all God did for me, there's no way I could be silent about Him.
Oh, no.
And His love, His mercy, and His grace.
Yep.
I have to let people know. If I am ashamed of God, then God would be ashamed of me.
Yep. That's right.
So I have to tell people that He is the way, the truth, and the life.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And my job is to, how do they say it? To tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody.
Yep.
That's my job.
So, who pays? You just sell t-shirts.
Mm-hmm.
So, who pays for the t-shirts to get printed and who, you know, all that stuff?
I do all that.
So, that all comes out of your pocket?
No. The money that I earn from the ministry. We have a certain a budget that we use to buy the t-shirts and to buy the transfers, and it all comes from the lights and everything. It all comes from donations. Our ministry solely runs on donations and t-shirt sales. And if there's anybody out there that would like to send a donation to the ministry, you can. The address is 4738 49th Boulevard, Wildwood, Florida.
Plus, he takes donations while he's set up wherever he's at, too. You don't have to buy a t-shirt, per se. You can donate whatever you want to for his cause.
Amen.
We donate.
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
And if you want to, you can send them to Scott or I, and we will make sure that Marlon gets it.
All
Amen.
The time.
Amen.
As a matter of fact, every time I see Marlon, I always donate. I think there's only been one time I didn't have enough cash on me to donate. So there's $200 for the trip, for your stuff.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it. There's always been, ever since I met Scott, he's always looked out for us in our ministry. It's like I said, I remember one time when I first set up, he seen those shirts sitting up there, and he was just like a little kid. He ran toward him. You know how you take a kid to the chocolate
store? Oh, yeah, man. Yeah, in the candy store. Oh, man.
And ever since then, I mean, we've been like we've been brothers.
We are brothers.
And his family has always welcomed me, his wife, his granddaughter and grandson, and his daughter. They're family. They're part of me. I mean,
your family, you're the man of both families.
Every time I see him, I always ask him how his family's doing.
Yeah.
It's just one thing about people that love the Lord, even if they didn't love the Lord, it's still my job to tell them what God has done for me and show them the love of Christ.
That's right, because even if you're friends with them, they're not into the Lord, by the way you act and the way you talk, eventually you're planting the seed.
And one thing about it, I just can't stop doing this. I don't care what nobody say. It's just my job to do this. Anytime a child passed by my table and asked their mother for a shirt or a hat or something about God, and the mom can't afford to do it, I always say, hey, ma'am, you mind if I give that child a shirt?
Yeah.
Because if a child asks you for something about God, I think it's our duty as adults. And if I'm representing God, how can I not give a child
something
about God?
That's right. That's awesome.
That don't even make no kind of sense.
That's right.
So I and also God has also changed my attitude. I wasn't always a giver. I used to be a taker. And but God showed me a new way of life, because if I'm going to change my life, I have to change everything I used to do.
Yep.
Got to turn around. And now it has to be giving. It has to be showing people love. No matter how they treat me, I still got to show them love, because that's what it's all about.
That's right.
I thought I knew what love was when I had my kids. But you know what? I don't think a person really knows true love until they have grandkids.
Yeah.
Because you know what? Grandkids can bring out the best in you. Let me tell you. There's nothing I wouldn't do with my kids either, but my grandkids are my life. I mean, mm-hmm. They've always been on my life from the day they were born. And let me tell you something, if anybody ever tried to hurt these kids, oh my God. Me and him, I'm telling you, these kids, they're the most wonderful kids. I mean, I
don't see why anybody would want to hurt them. They're pretty cool. They're cool kids.
I love my grandkids.
Yeah, but you know, there's people out there. I mean, look at the Ariana Grande.
The parents are.
Yeah.
By the way, they're known to them.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't understand why any parent would want to hurt their kids.
But you know what, though? And I mean this from the bottom of my heart. That's only temporary.
Yeah.
That won't stay the same. There's no parent in their right mind would continue to push their child away. And they just have to have a close, you know how Saul,
yeah,
Jesus, they have to have that kind of encounter. And
yeah,
he was doing worse than your daughter.
Yeah.
He was actually killing Christians. And some of them might have been his own relatives.
Yeah.
He didn't know.
Yeah.
But once you have a close encounter with God, just like I said before, your whole life will change.
Yep, yep. I'm just hoping that she realizes eventually before the kids don't want nothing to do with her at all,
right,
and stuff, the way she's pushing them away. I hope she comes around before they decide they just don't want anything to do with her for the rest of their lives and not want to talk to her.
Right.
Because I had that incident with my mom, with her son. She had two other kids before she had me and my brother.
Mm-hmm.
And her aunt ended up making her give them up for adoption when they,
wow,
were little.
Mm.
And she finally found them. And her daughter wanted to have something to do with her because I met her.
Right.
Her name's Becky.
Mm-hmm.
But her son Marty didn't want anything to do with her because of the fact that she gave him up for adoption. But the thing is, he ended up with a great family. I would think if he ended up with a family that took care of him, that he would appreciate her more, knowing that he was taken care of, rather than be with somebody where he knows that he wouldn't have been taken care of properly.
Right, right.
But that's not the way he thinks of it. He thinks, well, you gave me up, so you didn't love me. That's not what it was. Her aunt made her give her kids up.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't her fault. And he just don't care. He just didn't understand that.
Right.
I mean, and it breaks my heart because of the fact that my mom tried everything she could to try to have a relationship with him,
mm-hmm,
and he just didn't want it.
Right.
And this is what I'm afraid is going to happen with them.
Right.
That she's going to keep pushing them away so much that they're not going to want to have a relationship with her. And I don't want that because no child or no mother should have to go through that.
Right.
I mean, especially when they have a better life here, and she knows that they got a better life here.
Right.
That's why she signed the papers to let me have them.
That's right.
I mean, that was the best thing that she could have done.
Yes.
And she knows that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just hoping they realize that. And right now, the oldest one, he don't care. He don't care one way or the other. He says, Nanny, I don't want nothing to do with mommy. I said, it's still your mother, whether you like it or not, William. You ought to love her for letting me take you and take care of you. She did something to better you. I said, don't hate her for that. I said, I wanted to hate my mother for doing something like that.
Because she knew y'all could give him something that she couldn't.
Exactly.
Because she's in her own little world right now.
Exactly. But he don't understand that. I mean, he's only 8 years old.
Right, right.
I'm hoping once he gets older and he's getting counseling and stuff,
mm-hmm,
they can explain to him and let him know your mom's doing something to better you.
Right.
I mean, because, yeah, I put her down a lot, but you know what? That was the best thing she did for them,
mm-hmm,
by letting me take care of them.
Right.
Because
absolutely,
she knows that I'm gonna make sure they're taken care of. And if I'm not, he will.
And it's just like they're your own.
I mean, and they know their love.
Right.
Here. I mean, they got all the love they can have in this house.
Oh, yeah.
Between me, him, and Jessica and Armin, we all love these kids to death.
Yeah,
and
right.
Armin's not even their real uncle, but
right,
he loves these kids. I mean, he's awesome with these kids.
Yeah.
Armin's awesome anyway. I love this boy to death. I could talk about him for hours. I mean, I just love him. I mean, go ahead. I'm sorry. Don't play the music.
And she keeps rambling on. She's like, rambling man. Let's head on to another song. Let's do Rivers of Babylon.
Ja! Rastafari. Leave it in the hearts of fire night. Ja! Shall be mighty heathen day by day. They shall fall. Ja! By the rivers of Babylon, where we sat down, and there we wept when we remembered time. Away in captivity. required from us that song. How can we sing King Alpha's song in a strange land? So let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Father. Required from us a song. How can we sing King Alpha's song in a strange land? Oh. Required from us a song. How can we sing King Alpha's song in a strange land? By the rivers of Babylon, we sat down.
That reminds me a little bit of Steel Pulse.
That was Rivers of Babylon. Yeah, that was by Boney M. That's who did that.
Boney.
Yeah. Anyway, we're going to go on to another song, which is really cool, because I was just talking to Marlon about the song that my granddaughter sings all the time. This is called Sunday School is Cool.
I know a place where they teach God's Word. Come along with me if you've never heard about the love of God shown to us in Christ, and how believing in Him will change your life. Sunday school is cool. Sunday school is cool. Sunday school is cool. Sunday school is cool. We learn about Mo and the Israelites. We learn to live by faith and not by sight. Abraham was a righteous man. How Jesus lived and died and rose again. Sunday school is cool. Sunday school is cool. Sunday school is cool. Sunday school. With a bunch of toads. We learn about the flood of long ago and Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Sunday school is cool. Sunday school is cool. Sunday school is cool. Sunday school. Woman at the well, salvation for sin.
know Sunday School is Cool by Bruce Fife. That is my granddaughter, my 6-year-old granddaughter's favorite song. She'll sit there on her, I was just telling Marlon, she'll sit there on her MP3 player, because I put on her MP3 player, the CD that he has, and she'll sit there and she'll sing and sing and sing that song over and over and over again. Now, that's really cool for a 6-year-old.
Amen.
I have a special song for you, my brother.
Amen.
I was supposed to play this the first song when you came back. Now, you and I are the same age, well, within a year of each other,
right.
6 months or so.
Uh-huh.
So I know you remember the show Welcome Back, Cotter.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, my friend, this song is for you, for welcoming you back to our show.
Amen.
Welcome back. Your dreams were your ticket out. Welcome back. Same old place that you laughed about. Well, the names have all changed since you hung around, but those dreams have remained and they've turned around. Who'd have thought they'd lead ya?
Who'd have thought they'd lead ya?
Back here where we need ya.
Back here where we need ya.
Yeah, we need him a lot, 'cause we got him on the spot. Welcome back.
Welcome back.
Song, my friend.
Thank you.
And the next song is also for you too, because Jesus Is Calling Me by Arlen Darling.
The Lord, could he love a sinner such as me? Could he heal my hurts, my pain, and my shame? He told me I've already done all that you need me to do. He said, get up, just believe it, and come home. That's what he told me. come on home to me. I see someone in the distance holding a light, and a voice that I hear says, come to me. Oh God, I'm gonna sing this. And the closer that I get, the better I start to feel. I look up and it's Jesus. He's the one that's calling me. Oh God. I see someone out in the distance. He's holding a line. And the voice that I'm listening to says, come to me. Yes. And the closer I get, the better I start to feel.
Look at Jesus.
When I look up in the sea.
Yes, it's Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Too many people looking up and seeing the devil. But when I look up, I see Jesus. I see the love of God. I see the precious Lamb of God. I see Jesus. Oh God. He's the one that's calling me. Look at the way I feel it. I see someone in a distance. He's holding a line. And the voice that I'm listening to, they come home to me. The closer I get, the better I start to feel. I can see Jesus. Nobody but Jesus. I see Jesus. He's the one that's calling. He's the one that's calling. It's not Buddha.
not Muhammad, not Reverend Moon. He's the one that's calling, calling me.
That was Alvin Darling with Jesus is Calling Me. Yeah, he is. We're doing a little dealing and wheeling and dealing here because we also sell spinners.
What's wrong with that one?
Well, the light bulb's going out a little bit. We're going to continue on to our next song. There we go. We got a perfect one right there. Here we go.
You said you didn't want purple.
It's not purple. It's blue.
You said it was purple.
No. It's not Barney. Hey, boys and girls, my name's Barney.
You look like a Barney.
Gee, thanks. I love you, too. Can't you just feel the love, folks? There's all kinds of love. You press it four times, it shuts off.
Hey, anybody wants one, give us a call. We'll send you one as long as you send the money.
We're down at the Market of Marion, Highway 441 in Bellevue, every Saturday from 8 to 2 o'clock. Row F, booths. 225, 227, 229, 231, and 233. In July, we expand to 222, 223, and 225. That's why I added those in there. Honey, play another song. Hey, why don't you, why don't I do that? Since somebody's wheeling and dealing over here, we are going to go to Tim McGraw and, no, wait a minute, you're my best friend. Who sings that? What the heck's his name?
Freddie Thomas.
Yeah, you're my best friend. That's my honey. He's my best friend. Hey, honey.
Oh, you're the
For those of you who didn't know, like my wife over here, that was Queen doing You're My Best Friend. There are so many people that do that song, which she pointed out, which is true. But that was Queen's version of You're My Best Friend, and You're Mine Too. Huh.
Yep.
Wow! So, we were just talking with Marlon about where he's going to be in the next couple of weeks. So why don't you let everybody know where you are so they can find you?
Marlon never knows where he's at.
This coming Friday, if you are at near the Leesburg Walmart, I'll be there. Set up a table by on the market side. And this coming Saturday, I'll be in Inverness Walmart. Setting up a table on the market side. And if you just happen to be in North Florida next, the 17th, I will be at Live Oak Super Walmart.
That's where the oak trees are live, people.
That's the country right there. That's where the good old boys hang out.
He'll be the one wearing it with a straw hat and a little straw stick. I was like, let me tell you how good Jesus is. Jesus is my friend.
Amen.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, yes, definitely. Yeah, Marlo was saying, you know, ever since I first started as a teacher, I was like a kid in the candy store. You know, ever since that first day that Marlo and I met at the Market of Marion, we've been like brothers, man.
Amen.
You know, we just clicked together. It's like my wife and I, when we first met on the internet, almost 15 years ago, we first met on the internet talking, we just clicked too. We were like best of friends, like we've always known each other. It wasn't any of the shy stuff. We were just like really right there. You know, some people you can do that too.
And we were like inseparable because we couldn't wait to get back on the internet every day when we had other things to do and talk to each other because we would be right there when we'd see each other. We'd pop them right up and we'd start talking. And we wouldn't talk. We wouldn't stop talking for hours.
And that was back when we had dial-up.
Yeah, we had dial-up, folks. That was rough. Dial-up's rough.
Yeah.
But we were there, and we would talk for hours. I mean, we'd talk all night, and he'd have to go to work the next day. We'd talk all night. He'd go to work and come back and start talking to me again. Yep, we never didn't want to stop talking to each other.
Sleep, what was that?
Yeah, what was that?
That's what I was saying Sunday night, waiting for you to go home at 4 o'clock in the morning.
I didn't think I was ever going to get home. Dang.
She tells me she's coming home, and I'm like, well, what time are you leaving? She goes, I'm leaving at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm like,
I really didn't get out there until almost 5:30, but still.
So I stayed up to 4 o'clock in the morning waiting for her to get home. She's like, no, you won't. You won't make it. You'll be asleep. And
yes, he did, folks. He stayed up until 4 o'clock in the morning waiting on me.
And our granddaughter made it to 12:30.
And let me tell you something. I don't think I could even get the door before he had his arms around me hugging me.
I just missed her a little bit, folks.
No, not at all. Not at all.
Man, we only got a half hour of the show left, man. This is all fine tonight.
Because you talk too much.
No.
Oh, grandson's going to rat you out.
Hey, wait a minute now. You're supposed to be on my side. You're mine.
The power of grandchildren.
That's mean.
See that,
that's bad. Both my grandchildren are against me. That's not a good thing.
Welcome to life.
Well, on that note, we're going to go to another song while my grandson gets duct taped to the wall. No, we're not really going to duct tape him to the wall, folks. We're going to go with some Chaka Khan with I Feel You.
Did you hear what?
Rocky.
Okay, you can put USB.
That was I Feel You by Chaka Khan. Chaka Khan. Remember Chaka Khan?
Oh, yeah. I remember. Yeah. I was listening to them before.
Yep, yep, yep. That's back in the old days.
Back in the day.
Yeah. Yeah, back when we had Nintendo, you're right.
I still have one of them some dang place.
What, Nintendo?
Nintendo.
I believe it's down there.
I'm not sure exactly where it's at, but I got one. I got a Nintendo, a Super Nintendo. I got Atari. I got a Sega.
Atari.
I used
to sit for hours.
Oh no, I used to get into the Sega. I liked my Sega when I had it up and running. But anyway. Don't everybody speak at one time.
We're gonna go on to our next song. This is Buddy Guy with The Things I Used to Do.
The things that I used to do. Lord, I won't do no more. The things that I used to do. Lord, I won't do no more. I used to sit and hold your hand. I used to search all night for you. Thought that my search was always in vain. I used to search all night for you, baby. Lord, and my search was always in vain. Cause I knew all alone that you were here to out with some other man. Lord, I'm going back to my family too. Now, I'm going to send you back to your mother, darling. Lord, I'm going back to my family too. But nothing I do to please you, baby. Lord, I just can't get along with you. Buddy Guy, huh? Come on, Buddy Guy. Woo! Buddy Guy. Yeah.
Why don't you do some talk? Why don't you do this?
Well, who was that, huh?
You're on, baby.
I'm on.
Yeah, you're on.
That's so nice of you, honey.
You're welcome, honey.
Gee, you let me run the radio show once in a while. Ain't that nice of him?
Yeah, it is.
Imagine that, because it's the SNF music hour, I mean music show. Anyway, folks, we are going to, what's the time we got left here? I got to see what time we got left so I know what I can play here.
You have 20 minutes left.
We are going to go with You Take My Breath Away, Honey.
That's Rex Smith.
rest of the way, hon.
Gonna tell you everything I gotta tell you, but I know I gotta give it.
Air Supply with Making Love Out of Nothing at All. Isn't it like making love on a cloud or a feather bed? You ever been on a feather bed? Have anybody ever laid on a feather bed?
I haven't.
Man, let me tell you about a feather bed. If you lay the wrong way, you're going to get a feather in your back or your neck or somewhere else you don't want a feather.
Remember how we had the topping for our bed, the feather bed topping, remember?
Oh my God.
We were getting poked all the time?
That's what a feather bed is. Yeah.
Oh, them things hurt so bad.
I think I'd rather sleep in a cactus bush than sleep in a feather bed.
When all them things poke up through there, poke you somewhere where you don't want to be poked, trust me, you're going to throw it out the window because it hurts.
Well, we're down to our last 10 minutes. Anything you want to say before we say goodnight, sweetheart?
Well, I just would like to encourage everybody, before they make a tough decision, to always seek the counsel of God. And also, everything you do, do unto the Lord, not unto man.
Amen to that.
And wherever you go, always tell somebody what God has done for you. Because everybody has a reason to thank God. Everybody has a testimony. whether it's medical, whether it's drugs, spousal abuse, whatever the situation is, share your experiences with God with someone else, because someone may be going through the same thing that you've already been through, and you could help someone, you could help save a life.
Yep. Even if you don't think you have a testimony, you actually do, because there is a reason why you're walking around, people. I mean, you may not think so. I mean, I used to be like that. Like, you know, it was my sons, they got me into Christ. They really, really got me into Christ because they asked me to go to church with them one weekend. And I went to church with them one weekend. And then I went again. And then the pastor that was doing the sermon at that time, he did Revelations 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and lets me in, I'll come in and sup with him. And I was up with him and he with me. And that right there made me give my life to the Lord right then and there.
Amen.
And that was in 2000. So I've been saved. I've been a born again Christian for 17 years. Got involved with a few of the churches that I've been associated with.
Mm-hmm.
We don't do the business and other reasons that aren't really reasons. They're excuses, more or less. We don't go to church now like we used to. But, you know, we still sometimes we'll watch our church shows and we do the Bibles and the kids listen to their stuff. I mean, church is wherever two or more gather in Jesus' name. It doesn't have to really be a building where you have a pastor preaching. As long as two or more are gathered in the name of Jesus, you know, that's church.
But you have a relationship with Jesus Christ.
You can have a relationship. I believe you can have a relationship with Jesus Christ no matter where you are.
That's what I'm saying. You have a relationship.
You don't have to go to church because nowadays there are so many, I mean, seriously, there are so many pastors, reverends, bishops, cardinals. They're being arrested for all this and that. Okay, it's kind of really hard to pick a really good church where there's not somebody doing a crime somewhere. I mean, I read last week that in Minnesota, three Southern Baptist or Northern Baptist churches, they just got shut down because the pastors are dealing crack. Then you have the other pastors and Sunday school teachers are getting arrested for child molestation. Yeah. You're gonna trust your children to go where you go to a place to worship with a child that with child molestation. You don't even know that was child molestation. I'm sorry, folks, but my personal belief, wherever I gather with two or more people that are my friends and we gather in Jesus' name, that's church to me.
Amen.
That way I know my grandkids are safe. I know, but if they got kids with us, they're safe, because anybody ever hurts a child, they don't want to come in my path. They really don't.
That's right.
Because I am not a saint. I am still a sinner. We're all sinners. Even if we're saved, we're sinners. But you cross my path when it comes to my children or anybody else's children I know, you'll see Satan come out of me and playing out.
And no guy that goes to prison that's there for child molestation is safe.
Yeah.
Prison. Even for raping women, they're not safe in prison.
No, they're not safe.
I've seen it.
Yep.
And it's not pretty.
Yeah, it's called Lights Out Early. Been there, done that.
And I just have to say this. I mean, when you're an adult, you don't force your kids to go to church either. I mean, if they want to go to church, then that's a different thing. When I was growing up, my parents forced me to go to church every Sunday. I mean, and I don't believe in that either. I mean, if the children want to go, I can understand them going, but not to make them go somewhere they don't want to go. I mean, you can't make them believe what they don't want to believe.
Right.
They have to grow up wanting to believe it, not making them believe it. I mean, and we teach our kids right from wrong. That's what you try to do. I mean, you don't force them to do something they don't want to do. I mean, I believe in taking care of my kids and teaching them right from wrong. And that's part of what God wants you to do is teach them right from wrong. He don't want you to force them to do something they don't want to. I mean, I don't want to force my kids to go to church if they don't want to go to church.
Right.
I mean, because they're not going to believe in the Lord just because you take them to church. That's something that's got to be in their heart. I mean, if it's not in their heart, taking them to church ain't going to change their mind.
That's right.
I mean, I don't think they really, my kids yet really know what that means yet, because they're only 6 and 8. But I know one of these days they're gonna realize that God's there and He's in their heart, and mm-hmm. they're gonna accept Him.
Yes.
But I'm not gonna force them to do that. That's something they got to do on their own.
Yep. Yep. Well, guess what?
What?
It's that time. Good night, sweetheart. It's time to go. Na 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 na. Good night, sweetheart. It's time to go. Na 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 na. Yeah, it's time for us to say goodbye. I'll leave you with that one last song.
Good night.
We thank our friend Marlon and Mac for coming over. It's always a great time. Always a great time. Always blessed. And they'll be here once a month, if God willing.
Amen.
Yeah, that's awesome, huh?
And we'll be back Sunday, everybody, from 5:30 to 7.
Sunday, our new night. So till then, we're going to leave you with Bread and Truckin'. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Down the high.